Indeed.
Melissa, we hope you have a fantastic day. Enjoy yourself.
Yes, you too, gentlemen.
Seth, have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. You as well.
Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There were mostly peaceful protests across the country over the weekend after the Memphis Police Department released body cam video of Tyre Nichols' beating at the hands of five officers during a traffic stop. He died 3 days later. Memphis Church Pastor Gilbert Washington.
We're praying for that young man's family, for his loved ones, for his friends. They're hurting, and we're hurting as well.
CBS's Jared Hill.
A February 17th bond arraignment hearing has been scheduled for the five ex-officers involved, according to Shelby County online court records. Each faces multiple charges, including second-degree murder.
Officials in northwestern Pakistan believe a suicide bomber targeted a mosque in Peshawar today, killing at least 27 worshippers and wounding as many as 147 others. The BBC's Caroline Davies.
A police official told the BBC that part of the mosque's wall collapsed with the force of the blast. Lady Reading Hospital in Peshawar has declared an emergency. They told the BBC that they were still receiving those injured in the explosion. Unverified images on local media show half a wall caved in, the mosque covered in bricks and debris as people clamber over the rubble to escape.
In Cairo today, camera snapping away as Secretary of State Blinken met with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Blinken says he raised concerns about human rights issues ahead of a meeting in Jerusalem with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to discuss a new surge of Israeli-Palestinian violence. The Chiefs and the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl.
Racing around the edge, Scott is in! Touchdown, Philly
crushed the 49ers 31-7 to win the NFC Championship on Fox. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
This is something we all dream about, and we get to do it because, you know, we did it better than anybody else in the NFC this year.
The Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20 to take the AFC Championship. Super Bowl 57, a week from Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden will go head-to-head over the nation's debt ceiling when they meet Wednesday. Republicans insist on budget cuts before they raise the borrowing limit. Speaker McCarthy telling CBS's Face the Nation.
I want to make sure we're protected in our defense spending, but I want to make sure it's effective and efficient. I want to look at every single dollar we're spending, no matter where it's being spent. I want to eliminate waste wherever it is.
The president insists negotiating over raising the debt ceiling could trigger a recession. No school today in Woburn, Massachusetts. Teachers like Eric Scarborough are on strike.
It's unfortunate that we have to do this, but you get to a point where you've been pushed too far.
S&P futures down 35. Dow futures off 205. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 20. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 10 above. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, highs level off around 18. High of 5 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 31 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 3 above.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this February 1st, 2023. Happy February, everyone. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And for the entire hour, we are hanging out with Wood County Sheriff's Department. In studio, we have Sheriff Ted Ashbeck. Good morning, Ted.
How are you today?
Doing good. How are you?
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, it's good to have you here.
And I am captain, not
just you're captain. Oh, I'm sorry. From the sheriff's department. I get these things right.
Sean, you guys would be a little bit upset.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. The last guy I need to tick off. I mean, the last guy. But we do say a shout out to Sheriff Becker and stuff, of course. And we have also joining us today, Reuben Van Tassel. He is a maintenance with the maintenance department. Reuben, thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
I appreciate the time. And our focus today is going to be on the new jail and talking about that. And kind of diving into that. Ted, we'll get to your feedback on this in a moment. But Reuben, we haven't gotten to talk to you before, and it's your first time joining us. So thank you so much for the time. Appreciate this. When it comes to this topic, the new jail, we're finally to the point where we're breaking ground. We're planning. I shouldn't say breaking ground. We know where we're going to be breaking ground is what I mean to say.
Actually, we are breaking ground.
We are breaking ground. Yes, see, that is the break. I didn't want to put words in your mouth. I apologize. Okay, this is an exciting time.
Yes.
Because we're through the looking glass on this. It's no longer do we need a jail, should we have a jail, or anything like that. We've finally gotten to this stage in the game.
Correct.
This is where things, I think, get exciting and interesting for the community. And it's weird to say that maybe about a jail. It's usually you say that like about a new department store or something like that, like they have those anymore. I'm really dating myself in this interview. But this is... It's exciting because, and I see excitement in people about this, in part because of jobs that it creates. It's something that I think the community has known for a very long time that we've needed, and it just kind of, I think there's almost a sense of relief to this, too. Not only that we can count on our officers and on the clientele in those jails' safety a little bit stronger and have a little more confidence in that, but just the relief that the subject is kind of done. Like, this has been hanging over this community for, what, 30 years?
Oh, at least.
At least 30 years it's been hanging overhead. Do we need a jail? Should we have a new jail? Et cetera, back and forth. 50% think this, 50% think that. Well, we're here now. And I think there's a bit of a relief when it comes to that. Are you guys feeling that, too? Because I've gotten that from many different guests that have joined me on the show and other community members.
I have noticed that as well. I mean, I've had very few people talk negatively about it. And then when you answer their questions, it's just that they didn't know these things. They thought, oh, we got to pay for all this right away. Like, no. They government knows how to plan these things out, and they're doing a very good job of that. I know, like, Ballantyne and the committee that is involved in that have been working very, very hard in getting this thing set up. So we have made a lot of strides in that direction.
Reuben, how long have you been a part of this process as far as the proposal, the actual jail getting forward and all that?
Pretty much from the beginning of the recent proposal that we're seeing come to fruition now. I know we talk about the 20 plus years that this has been talked about. I was not with Wood County 20 some years ago when this was talked about initially, but a few years ago when Sheriff Becker brought this back to the top of everybody's list to talk about, I was involved with that group. There was a great group of staff working on putting information together for the county board to consider, to get information out to the community. And it's been a really great process and a neat thing to be a part of.
If you don't mind, I'd like to start there, the beginning of this. And maybe if there's anything out there that the community doesn't know about some of the things that it took to get this to happen.
Well, if we go back a few years...
It's kind of a loaded question. Yeah, I apologize.
It is, and we don't want to fill the whole hour with that. But I mean, if we go back to just some of the needs that were shown 20 plus years ago, the design of our current facility has a lot of shortcomings as far as safety, and also with the life of the building, the design of the building, not nearly as safe or just functional efficient as it should be as a 24-hour facility. So when we started looking at that, that was really what the start of the process mm-hmm. is, bring all that information and make it easy to view, mm-hmm. make it very clear, here's the need that we have if we're going to stay in our current facility, here's what it's going to cost to, I guess, bring it up to where it should be. But even in doing that, we could see clearly that spending that between $10 and $15 million doesn't give us a new facility that meets the current need. All it does is bring our current facility up to a better standard.
Was there a, and I don't need details or names clearly or anything like that, but was there a lot of arm twisting that needed to be done for this? Was it kind of a lot of convincing that needed to be done?
I don't think so. I think that when Sheriff Becker brought the topic to his committee of County Board Supervisors, they were receptive to looking into the topic and doing a study to figure out how far we needed to take that.
And if I could say something, I don't mean this as anything against any previous sheriffs or any previous people that were trying to get this to go forward initially or anything like that. They paved the way for it to actually end up happening. Nothing, the game changers are never just the game changers. It wasn't just about Jackie Robinson. It was about the guys before him that helped pave the way for him to be able to break the color barrier and things like that. So nothing against that past or anything, but it's not a coincidence to me that this happened when Sheriff Becker is in office, technically, kind of the way they turn, you know, votings and all these things go and stuff. I think that there is something to be said for that. I think there's some credit that needs to be given for that, just in the sense that this has been a long process, and not at all to say that he is the only person to make this happen. But as you just said right there, Ruben, it's Sheriff Becker kind of putting this up at the top of the list again, and a guy like him who had just... is somebody who is, while he can stand on his feet and you know this man is going to believe in what he's saying, he also is going to come to you listening to you and have a conversation with you. He's not going to bark at you. He's going to hear you while also speaking his mind. I think you have a personality like this, it's going to get things done. And I don't think it's a coincidence, and I don't think we get a chance, especially the way he is. He ain't going to take any credit for this. He's not going to, like, good luck giving that guy to admit anything that he did good or anything like that. So I think it's on us, and I think it's deserving to do these kind of things, to give some credit where it is. Again, certainly not just him, everybody that has made this happen, but this is a win for us as a community. Even if you were on the fence about this for a while or anything, we're here now, and this is happening. And as Sheriff Becker has noted many, many, many times, the amount of money this is going to save, because we talk safety, you know, when we get together, and that's my main focus. And I would like to think that that's the 90% of people out there, that's their focus. But there's always the people out there that money is the first thing on their mind and how this affects that. Well, to those people, this is going to help you. This is going to be better for your community, for the future of your community. Like, there's a lot of positives to this.
That is true. I mean, and with Sean, I mean, he's the first one to always be the team. It is a team, and he's correct on that, but it does take that very proactive individual, which he is, in order to get those things moving forward. So if anybody knows anything about Sean, he's got every iron he can go, and he's going forward all the time, which is a benefit for the community, is what it turns out.
Ruben, we were talking about the beginnings of this. Once it gets in place and this is going to happen, that's where the heavy lifting, well, literally, where that really begins. So where are we at right now in the stage of things?
Work is underway. We actually are probably nearing 70% completion of some of the footings on the site right now. So they're working daily. There's only been a handful of days that the weather has not been cooperative enough this winter, which has been great for us. We're seeing plenty of progress on the site. plenty of laborers out there working, equipment is running, so it's good to see that progress. And I guess something that I would say about that is there's kind of the different phases when construction starts, where initially there's the excitement of, hey, we're finally seeing something happen, and then it's going to feel like there's maybe a lull and we're not seeing as much progress. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden walls are going to be going up. You know, something to point out for the size of this structure and being that it's a detention facility, underneath the ground floor there is going to be over 5,000 lineal feet of electrical conduit. That doesn't include any of the plumbing or anything else. That's just electrical under the first floor, and there's going to be that much again over the top of first floor, and then for second, third, and fourth. So when we start thinking about the amount of materials that have to get installed and the amount of labor needed for that, it's an incredible amount of work. So as things ramp up this spring, we're going to see more and more contractors on site, more work being completed. So again, right now, the work that gets completed is covered up. It's the footings. It's the in-floor work. But there's a lot of work happening.
I come from a construction family. I spent my first half of my life doing construction and working on houses or home improvement jobs. And coming from Chicago as well, I can't drive past downtown and see those big cranes and not have nostalgia and all this. I love it. But I know nothing of what you're talking about. Like, it's such a different thing to those of us that know anything construction, building a house and all that. There's doing that, and then there's a project like this, which is so, like, just the numbers you gave us right there, the data you gave us right there is mind-boggling, I think, to pull this off in the middle of winter as well as some of this stuff is going on. Shout out to those workers out there. That is some hard work, but very, very rewarding. Like, you don't meet many people in construction that don't do it because they love what they're doing in some way or another.
I agree.
I think that something else that was noteworthy about this, too, as far as the building and the process of this, when it comes to that part, the people that are doing this work, that doing the work that there, I think that's noteworthy, too. That not only the people themselves, and no matter where they come from, but that these are jobs that are being created. And that's something that no small town, including ours, could, you know, just kind of skate over. That's a big thing, a big part of this.
Agreed. Yeah, there are some local laborers from the area. There are plenty coming from out of town. But regardless, having that group of people in the area is good for surrounding businesses. So it's we should see an effect now and into the future.
Has the scope of the project, the planning, the scheduling of the project, has that changed much since, you know, kind of some of the more recent news that we've seen? I shouldn't say recent, but the most recent news we've seen about the topic. Is there any changes there? You mentioned the weather's been pretty cooperative. Mother Nature's been pretty nice to us, really.
Not a lot of changes. It's really a long schedule with this equipment that has to go in for, again, detention. Is just it's a different level of building construction, and so it's roughly a two-year time frame for construction of the new building, and then we have some movement that has to take place to bring our operation from the old facility to the new. And after that's completed, there will be several months of additional demolition and construction where the current older jail is. That will be demolished and improved.
I've been trying to convince Sheriff Becker with the old building to put a like a basketball court that's like seasonal, like all year round, that we can play. And I got nothing. He just laughed. But I am curious to know what will happen with the old building in that land there.
So when it's demolished at the end of towards the end of the project, just the improvement will be that we can complete a parking area for corrections officers and deputies to keep them in an appropriate area that's close to the facility. And there will be a little bit of green space on what would be the east side of the existing courthouse along Fifth Street. So there's the potential that if there's needs in the coming decades for additional space attached to the courthouse, there may be an opportunity to have another addition placed there for some office square footage.
Which is what we see with a lot of this. You know, you see it with stadiums for sports teams all the time, a lot of that kind of thing. It's just making good use of the land, of that property, and certainly noteworthy, are necessary, as it would turn out. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take our first break right now, get it out of the way a little early, because when we come back, we put Ruben on the spotlight here. We put him on the spot right away, just jumping out the gate. I got to do that to you, Captain Ted, when we come back, because I want to talk a little bit about why we're doing this and some of the stats of that.
Certainly.
So we'll get to that when we come back here on Morning Magazine, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 20. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 10 above. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, highs level off around 18. High of 5 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 31 Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 3 above.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this February 1st, 2023. We're spending the hour with Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Captain Ted Ash back in with us. Good morning, Captain Ted.
How are you?
And we have Ruben Van Tassel with us, with the Wood County Maintenance Department. Again, Ruben, thanks for being here.
Yes, glad to be here.
It's been really good talking with you guys. Ruben, am I saying your name right? Am I? All right. Okay, that's a point. Pam, write that down. I actually got the name right. We appreciate the time from both of you. Ted, I would like to get into a little of the stats and some of the information of why this jail is being built. Not to say that we haven't gone over this ad nauseum at times, but as I was telling you guys during the break, we just never know who's listening, and people out there that may be listening to this, hearing about a new jail, not understanding why there's a new jail being built. It's not just because we felt like it. It's little things like, I don't know, that Wood County is paying an average of $1.4 million a year to host inmates in other counties. That the cost will increase as counties charge more for housing inmates, that the new jail is being built to hold up to 300 inmates, eliminating the need to house Wood County inmates in other jails. That right there is, there's a lot to pick apart in that. But when you hear these, when you're seeing this information, when you're telling people about this information, what are some of the things that we want to highlight when it comes to this?
Well, in highlighting that, there's more to it than just spending that type of money. I mean, we also have staff and vehicles involved and traveling everywhere. We've had vehicles that we've had to replace throughout the year or break down, and we're sending people to try to get them. So there's a lot of things that are in moving pieces to this puzzle.
Yeah.
And as $1.4 million sounds like a lot, and it is, there's also the court system. We have to bring people back for that. Video has really been a great advantage for us since COVID, but it's still, you still have the right to be in court, so we still have to run over and bring people back and forth. It's always short notice. It would be much better to be able to get those people back and be able to start, I guess, dealing with the issues that are bringing them back to us all the time in the first place. So that's one of those hidden ones you don't see, but that's what this new facility also will be taking care of.
Not to over-dramatize or anything like that, but I also think of all the incidents that can happen in all those scenarios that where things can go wrong. And those are just another, we don't need any more opportunities for that. Like the more of those kind of chances we can eliminate seems like a really positive thing for, again, the clients and for you guys.
That is true. I mean, just recently in the news, there was a person, I think, down in the Milwaukee area jumped out of that transport van. Mm-hmm. And that's a very likely possibility anytime. We've had somebody try to get out of it when we come back from the hospital as well. So it's not unique to any one particular place. It's always a risk moving people around.
We've talked about inside the old jail and the concerns there. Can we go over some of those?
Certainly. I know, like, my aha moment in there was when I first got back there, they was like, how can we have 160 people in a place that holds 132?
Yeah.
So right away you knew something wasn't right. But at that point you're only 30, 40. You know, that's who you're housing. I mean, the cost associated, I guess, was what the county thought was a good option at the time. But as those numbers grew to 230s and 270s inside of, now you're 100 past your capacity. Now you're basically paying for a whole new facility each time you're at that. But my aha moment was when we had the pipes go out in the kitchen and we had 6-foot deep holes through there, and they're saying, we're going to have to do this down the entire center of the jail, which means you're going to have to house everybody else. So now you're going to have to find a place for all 200 plus people.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Plus put the millions of dollars into fixing. It was like, it really came down to, we would like to be able to just modify what we have and be able to stay current with everything. It just wasn't going to be possible.
Yeah. There's a certain point, no matter how much you love that old vehicle of yours, you're going to have to let it go. Like, it's just going to cost more to fix it than to buy a new vehicle at a certain point. Now, we can understand that. It seemed like it took the community quite a while to wrap their heads around that part of it. Was there anything that you think that stood out to the community to finally get this done? Like any incident or anything that kind of like, or was it just enough is enough or enough time had passed and that kind of thing, that where we almost wore down the community when it comes to this or something? I hate to put it that way, but when it's such a logical decision to me, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around why this took so long. So I'm just throwing stuff out there that I is, as far as I know the adult things, as far as I don't want to spend money, my taxes, this, et cetera, et cetera. I know all that nauseam. I'm thinking of other factors that could have played into people's minds to keep them from, you know, caring about our officers' safety. Anything would hold that back. There should be no follow-up to that question. It's, we're going to help officers stay safer? Sign me up. Sounds good. What are we doing?
I think it may be the inherent secrecy of that type of facility. I mean, nobody really talks about the jails. Nobody talks about inside. I mean, unless something happens, that's really when it becomes top of the mind. All this time that all these things were going on, it was just there. It just, nobody was really talking about it. So that's where people like Sean or Sheriff Becker have brought that forward. And then the county board did put together the ad hoc committee in order to, I guess, put it out there. So once it got out there, it wasn't hard to understand that, yeah, you do have a problem, and what are we going to do about it?
Ted, I think that's incredibly insightful. I think that you really hit on something there, especially the unknown. We're afraid of what we don't know. We don't know what's under the bed, so we look under the bed, and then we feel a little bit better. If people are more informed, if people are more understanding of what's going on and why this is being done, and the more we share, the more, hey, that there is no, don't, you know, instead of not paying attention to the man behind the curtain, hey, look at the guy behind the curtain, everybody. Look at how the sausage is made. Like, explaining and giving people a little bit more of that, maybe that is also part of the reason why it's finally getting done. It is kind of this being the society being what it is right now, where we're doing more of that. We're, as a kid, I always liked The Heart of Darkness more than Apocalypse Now. I thought the making of the movie was more interesting than the movie itself. All the movies, you know, pretty good, obviously. But it's some of that sometimes I think is a little where we are, especially where we are today in society, where people want, they're going to ask questions. They're going to have follow-up things. You might as well tell them. You might as well tell them the truth. You're just, you know, prolonging things if you don't. So maybe that is part of the reason why this gets done as well.
It very well could be.
Do you think that there is a new, because I also see this from law enforcement, and not just locally here, but really around the country, a little more transparency when it comes to that. Do you think that that has helped this situation too? Not just for us, but maybe for other places around the country?
Transparency is always a positive. I mean, there's really nothing to hide here. I mean, that's the whole point. It's like, it is part of your community. It is technically your facility as well.
Yeah, I don't, again, this is not to take shots at old people, the other sheriffs or anything like that. It was a different time, and you just weren't, you didn't even think of these things necessarily, because you mostly thought a little what you were saying there. This is a hush-hush thing. We've done this with a lot of topics in society where we didn't go out and say, hey, we're not going to talk about that. We just don't talk about it. We're getting better about that when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to child abuse and these things. We're no longer talking like this. We're talking like this now because we need to, because we, as a society, we've understood it didn't do us any good to hush these things. Our generations are the ones that grew up with being told to worry about the guy in the trench coat under the light and everything like that. And that was well intended, but we were paying attention to him and not paying attention to the people that look quote unquote normal that are, you know, were causing some of these things to happen. We're a better society for it. We understand and learn from these things. And here we are with something like this where we're getting this jail built. And I think that, again, all these things kind of lead up to this decision finally happening.
It's true. It's like you had said before about not wanting to look under the bed. Some people pull the covers over their head, so they didn't have to. All we did is just look under the bed for them and tell them what was there.
Are there is there other things that made this need a necessity that we haven't touched on?
Well, a lot of it is, we have, I guess we should call it programming space. Right now we have one room in our entire building, and everybody's fighting for that location. You have people with AODA, you have people with mental health, you have people with education, and you have people with, therapy groups to help them deal with themselves and work together. There's only the one room to do it. And unfortunately, you can't mix males and females, so you have to, if you're going to have one program, you got to run for both. So now you basically doubled the amount of time and the need for that one space. The new facility is going to have all those places incorporated into them. And our hope is and I guess a lot of the research and stuff that's been done says that if you start helping these people with the issues that are coming in, they should at some point be able to help themselves and maybe not have these issues continue. I mean, addiction is an addiction. I mean, if you do nothing about it, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to just get worse. And unfortunately, that's where we're at today.
Yeah, as a child of addiction, I can speak to that very deeply. And Ted's completely right about that. And I will say, too, while I love the image of you guys arm wrestling for this space and stuff, and that does seem kind of funny and entertaining a little bit, this is a much better idea. So much of what you said there for so many reasons. It's, first off, it is, no matter what a person has done, it is their given right here in this country to have process, to have a speedy process. I shouldn't say speedy, but have a well-flowing process and everything. It is a human right. So that right there is something that stands out to, I think, most of us and everything. But safety issues, again, maybe the biggest part of this is that latter part that you brought up, which really takes us back to like the first conversation Sheriff Becker and I had on the air, was ending the revolving door. How do you do that? Higher bail, this, that, you know, having bigger senses and stuff. We've tried all these things. Nothing's working. How about you talk to people? How about you figure out what's going on in their brain? And honestly, that moment, I can picture it right now of talking to him and seeing. Because I've been very honest about this. I grew up on the other side of the tracks. My whole experience up until my late 20s with law enforcement was negative. And seeing this world that we're in now, where we have people like yourself, Ted, where we have Sheriff Becker, we have plenty of other officers around the country that get this, that understand that you really want to put a dent in crime, you got to figure out what's going on in people's heads. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out why they're doing these things. It's not to say that it's going to end crime and every criminal only commits crime because of a mental health issue or something like that. But there's a lot of that. And the numbers that we talked about earlier about the amount of people in the jail and why we're doing this, those numbers increased for a reason. Why? Why did it increase? Instead of just trying to treat every solution with a kind of kind of an old school mentality of if I slap you on the wrist, you're not going to touch it anymore. Like, that didn't work on my kid, no. And it probably ain't going to work on adults either.
No, they tend to have their own opinions of how they're going to do things.
Well, and if my family's hungry, I'm going to keep, no matter how many times I get locked up, and this is the only way for me to get food, I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah. My wires are not connected, if I have a chemical imbalance, which is nothing I can control, it's going on up here, I had nothing to do with that necessarily, maybe I'm going to be leaning more towards making decisions that are not legal or not good for me or something like that. Maybe I just need a question, or somebody ask me that, or just a chance to, you know, better myself, to get on my feet or something. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, every criminal is this. Statistically, we know better than that. There are just knuckleheads out there. There are just people, you know, the great Batman line. Some people just want to watch the world burn. There's those people there. But there are other parts of society where there are people who can be contributing, tax-paying members of society that are going to make our communities better. All they need is this one moment to be able to change their life and change their trajectory. Let's go ahead and take a break right here. Get our final one out of the way. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this and kind of wrap up the subject of the jail a bit. Now, Ruben, if you don't mind, I don't get a chance to talk to people in your position very often. So I'm going to probably put you on the spot a little bit. Okay. I apologize. If Ruben's still here when we get back, we'll talk to him. Well, the door's right there. He can exit out real easy. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Morning Magazine at WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 20. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 10 above. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, highs level off around 18. High of 5 Friday under mainly sunny skies. 31 Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 3 above.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this February 1st, 2023. You have your host, James J. here, and we are joined by the Wood County Sheriff's Department, have Captain Ted Ashback with us, and Ruben Van Tassel, Maintenance Department with Wood County. And that's where I want to go first, if you don't mind, Ruben. Put the spotlight right on you. We were talking earlier about some stats and details about the jail. Let's start right there. Where does your kind of job in the whole process of all this?
Well, I guess as the facilities manager, being in charge of the maintenance department for Rapids facilities, really learning about our buildings, what weaknesses do we have, what can we improve, trying to get the entire crew, I guess, in the county a little bit more proactive in our approach to maintenance. That's been a focus of mine for the last few years. And it's a challenge. It is, as you said, I mean, there's over time, we look at things differently. And I guess that's been my approach with the county is let's take a new look at things, decide if we want to consider some adjustments to how we operate. And that's something that is a trend for maintenance. If we want to get ahead and keep our facilities functioning and operational and lengthen the life of those facilities, we're going to try to do more preventive care and get ahead on planning, looking at space needs and how the future looks. We generally do a 5-year outlook on different things, and that's difficult enough. But if we even look beyond that, because things are constantly changing, we should be trying to just imagine what's going to change in 10 years. How are things going to look in 20 years? And that's really difficult. It's challenging enough because we're all busy. And so we're just trying to keep up with this year while we're planning out the next year and wrapping up the year before. It's challenging, but I think it's something that brings a little bit of reward to us as we can feel that we're giving it our best shot and trying to set our employer, the county, up in a good position so that long term we have a good plan and we can make our facility last longer. And I think that as far as the existing jail and its condition, again, it served its purpose for many years, and it just came to a point where when we looked at some of the technology, some of the design, some of the materials used back in the 80s, there wasn't much of an option to extend the life on many of those systems and some of the materials that were under floor. As Captain Ashback referenced, we had to dig up the kitchen for a 24-hour facility because we had old cast iron lines in the floor that were rotting away and failing. We made a really good effort to put a fiberglass sleeve in those old lines to line them, to repair them without having to dig up the floor. It didn't work. And so then we were stuck vacating the kitchen, digging up the floor. We had a big mess on our hands, and it was a challenge. And so I guess that's kind of that overview. There's many different pieces to that, different systems that were at that same stage. It was time to make a big change there.
You know, a big part of the reason for this is because the old building, I don't know if they thought that far ahead, or if they did, they weren't able to predict certain things that were going to happen. And most of us can't predict what we're going to have for dinner, let alone what's going to go on in 10 plus years or anything, and let alone with a facility that is in an unpredictable field. Captain Ashback doesn't know what's waiting for him whenever he goes into work. Like, that is an impressive gig to take on, sir. But it's also just speaks to what we're talking about here, you know? So how did that work? What kind of factors, what did you do to kind of try to, I hate to Nostradamus you here, but try to predict, like, okay, well, we can hopefully, you know, feel good about this building for the next 40, 50 years or so. So we're not in this position again in another 30 years or what have you.
You know, I think I'm not going to take the credit for all of it. I think industry-wide there's a trend that more and more people are looking to long-term planning and trying to make a facility not just last forever, but make it serviceable. make systems upgradable in the future. And that's the kind of conversations that our county work group, our project team had with the designing architect and engineer, just really focusing on to make this the best investment that we can, because it's going to be expensive. Let's make sure that we don't back ourselves in a corner so that in 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we're looking at a tear down and rebuild. That's, to me, that's not acceptable. That's not the right way of thinking. And so as we worked through details, that was just a lot of the questions I would ask were geared towards, what do we do when that system needs to be replaced? Are we ensuring that we're not digging up the entire kitchen floor in 20 or 30 years or even 40, because that causes a lot of problems? So, I mean, we met a lot. There was hours and hours. I mean, I can't tell you how many hours we spent working with the design team, the architect and the engineers. And there's still ongoing conversations as we're already breaking ground, but some of the specific products are being submitted to the architect and engineering team for approval, and we're reviewing those things to, again, make sure we're getting the right product, the right material that's going to work for the jail operation, as well as give us a building that we can maintain and hopefully swap out systems and upgrade systems in the future without a complete rebuild.
Whose idea was it to bring Ruben in today? Because they deserve points. This is a great guest right here. That's something I don't think, I've done a lot of research on this topic. I've been reporting on it myself. I don't think that's an angle we've talked about. I don't think that's part of what we've referred to when we're talking about the jail. And understandably so, there's a lot to cover with this topic. But the idea that you guys thought about that stuff, that the idea that you guys are looking ahead like that, that's very noteworthy. And should, again, you had a phrase there, return on investment. That's something every human being is looking for, no matter what we're, if we're buying a gumball or we're buying a new car. Hearing something like that and hearing that the data, the research that was put into this, I feel even more confident about this going forward than I did a half an hour ago when we started this conversation. I think that's really noteworthy. When it comes to the data, when it comes to all that stuff and the hours that you put into it and everything to get to this point, is there a word you can even put to where how you feel about this going on right now, where we are in the process?
Maybe a couple of words. I don't know if I can.
It definitely can't be one.
I think it's.
Hopefully, it's radio friendly too. It's okay.
we'll keep it PG.
Right up.
I think. I mean, personally, I'm excited to see the progress that's happening outside the building. You know, all the effort that's going in, the group of people that have been working on it, we're seeing it happen, and so I'm excited about that. I'm honored to be a part of it. However many years ago, you name it, I wouldn't have imagined that I would be a part of this team of people that have been able to put this project together and see it happen. It's really a great honor.
And I think one other thing that I've noticed that has been talked about a little bit, but I also think is interesting, we're not the only county in this situation. And not only obviously across the country, but certainly even here in Wisconsin. Rock County is another one looking into doing these kind of things. And other communities, other counties are also...
And Portage.
Portage, yes, that's right. Thank you. That was the one I was trying to think of, and I just couldn't think of the word Portage for some reason. Get sleep, everybody. It really helps. I find that part is noteworthy too. Is there any, like, I don't want to say like you guys are sharing information or anything, but have you been able to talk to other counties? Have you shared information about how it's going for us and how it could go for them?
That's how we started in this project. We actually went and visited a lot of these facilities to get an idea of what was working for them, what long-term plans were working out, what ones weren't, so that we couldn't adjust and not make the same mistake. So there was a lot of that going on.
I feel like when it comes to this topic, I'm not so worried about necessarily the people who already are on board. It's those people still on the fringe and everything. And so when I hear things like that, oh, it's not just our county. Oh, you guys have done this data, this research. We're building confidence, hopefully, in people out there. There's going to be some people you're never going to win over. But there are more people, I think, than not that are willing to listen and learn and grow than not. And I this is how you help that happen. The transparency, as you touched on earlier, Ted, and other things. I had a listener ask me once, I noticed when you have Sheriff Becker on, you call him Sean. I was like, yeah. Yeah, I call him Sean. I call Ted. Ted, I do a lot of this stuff. It isn't. I have all the respect in the world for you gentlemen. But one of the first things that Sheriff Becker and I talked about was building the bridge of community and police departments, community and having more familiarity, more comfortableness, being more so our kids feel more comfortable to go to an officer if they're in trouble or something like that, to build on that. I feel like you do those things when you do simple things like that. Every once in a while, throwing in a Ted, throwing in this thing to treat you like, I don't know, you're a human being instead of just a badge, you know? I think that stuff goes along a lot farther than we realize, and I realized when I first started doing it, and as I've heard from the community.
I agree. I think the success of this project largely revolved around that collaboration and the willingness to have the conversations, you know, and not just all the details that the Sheriff's Department is aware of, but building our team and including other departments that they don't work in the jail, they don't maintain the jail, but everybody that was involved somehow had contact with the jail in some way through their department operation, through knowledge of outside agencies, things like that. And I really, that's what we saw, and that's been one of the rewarding things, is seeing everybody collaborate, work together, and come to a good conclusion.
Ted, we were talking earlier about transparency and a lot of that. Do you think that once the building's up and running, do you think it'd be a good idea maybe to have an open house? And I know that sounds a little cringy maybe with a jail, but I don't know if it necessarily is. I don't know.
I think that is in the plan, and it's not just a jail. I mean, there is a sheriff's department.
Right.
There's a county boardroom.
Right.
It's going to help the current building we have, the courthouse, last into the future too, because we have the one elevator. This adds to second levels. It makes ADA compliance a little easier. It does a lot of things for the community as well. So. So I do believe they have plan. I know they had one planned when we did the groundbreaking, so hopefully it's not as cold.
Yes. You can tell my background, because all that stuff is very important. I'm so focused on the jail part.
Like, oh, yeah.
Thank you for that, though. You're absolutely right. Those are other things. And I think that would be fun. And again, a way for the community to not only see where their money went, mm-hmm. you know, to be blunt, but also to see why this was done and the difference. Many people have seen images and pictures of the old jail if you haven't been in there.
Sure.
I think having that comparison is going to go a long ways for people. We have one last break to take. We'll do it. We'll get out of the way, and then we'll come back and wrap up Morning Magazine here at WFHR.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
The Arts Council presents the Wisconsin Brass Quintet at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids Thursday, February 2nd. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet is a faculty ensemble in residence at the Mead Witter School of Music at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Get your tickets anytime at saveofthearts.org or call 715-424-2787. Thank you to the Mead Witter Foundation for sponsoring the outreach program associated with this performance. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet with the Arts Council, your performing arts connection.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 20. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again. Tonight, lows level off around 10 above. Highs around 18. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies expected. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday, with highs around 5 above. 31 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 10 above.
Welcome back to the Morning Magazine here at WFHR, everyone. We've been hanging out with the Wood County Sheriff's Department and Ruben from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. Wood County Maintenance, thank you. And I was just excited about some of the things we were just talking about during the break there and everything, because there's a lot of information, there's a lot of nuts and bolts and data that comes into this, and we're going to have to bring you back, Ruben, sometime, especially once we get this going and everything, because for one, you did too good of a job. You messed up. You should have messed this whole thing up and then we never bring you back. You're too good of a guest.
I'll try harder next time.
Yeah, that is. But I do think that there's a lot of interesting data that's going to come from this, you know, how much concrete's used, how much pie, you know, different things like that, and getting into it during the process, kind of giving people and showing people how this is working, a behind the scenes look, if you will. But how did we get here, and what changed? I kind of think that we covered how we got here, why we need this and everything, but what changed to make it where over the last 20 years, nothing, and then all of a sudden, finally this. I touched a little bit on this with Sheriff Becker and the staff over there, and some other factors that have come into this as far as the rise of different costs of things and such, but is there anything else that we're missing here, Captain Ashback, that you think helped make this happen, finally make this decision, finally come home?
Well, a lot of it based around safety, not just the staff, but around the inmates as well. With that linear style, you can't see in. We've added camera systems and anything that we could get to fit in there without tearing the building down and putting one around it in order to make it safer in there. So once 16 happened and we had our opioid crisis start off, it hasn't ended. It just they're doing a little bit more about it. I mean, I know we have been doing more with the jails. Smart Recovery has been doing more, trying to help people deal with those issues. And that's kind of what really kickstarted, because now insurance companies got involved, because whether you like it or not, when things happen bad, that's what happens.
So. Oh, yeah. You can look at World War II if you want to see more information about that and insurance companies and everything. Yeah, yeah. That is an interesting note. We get so caught up in the moment, in the current time. The pandemic was 10 years ago to some people. Like, you know, and then you talk about the other sort of pandemic we dealt with the opioid crisis and everything. That feels like it was 20 years ago to some people. So I think it's important to mention that stuff. Even though it seems like it's relatively new history, 2016 for some people was a long time ago. And that stuff is still not only it's important to know because of what you said there, is it's still going on, which is incredibly important. Important for us to note, but also for this, you know, this conversation.
Yeah, that was kind of the turning point. If you really think about it, it's kind of put that right back on the front page. Yeah. It gave us another level of people looking at it. It then brought the county board back in to reevaluate whether shipping people out and doing things as status quo was the best option.
When is there anything, and this is for both of you, is there anything when it comes to the topic of the new jail that you've heard or seen information about that isn't necessarily correct, or anything that you think the community would be good to know that we haven't really touched on already?
Other than it's not just a jail, yes. But we kind of touched on that a bit. Really, no, I haven't heard much negative about it. I mean, most people are, oh, we don't need a jail. We're going to be letting people out into our neighborhood. They're already getting out in your neighborhood. This jail is already there. So
yeah.
There's no change there. I mean, oh, you'll be letting more people out. No, they all come back and get out our same doors. So no change. So unfortunately, we'll be able to do it safer.
Right.
And I think maybe for some of those that haven't followed this topic real closely over the last year or so, looking at design and some of the preliminary renderings from the architect's team, the facility is going to look nice. Mm-hmm. It's going to look nice next to the courthouse in downtown. It's not going to be an old facility with bars in the windows. And so I think that's maybe just kind of looking from the outside, that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, well, it isn't certainly a requirement. That don't hurt. That is nice. That is a really good thing. And especially, I got to say, when we have a town here that has a number of newer buildings, newer facilities, we've got this beautiful YMCA over there. You've got things like that going on. It only increases the value of a town, of a city. And as we have Mayor Blazer on every week, and it's one of the things that we're, whether it's on air or off air, we're talking about bringing new residents in, keeping the residents we have. What are some of the biggest things people are looking for? Safety. That is like almost the number one thing people are looking for when they're moving to communities. Yeah, what are the schools like? Yeah, this and that and everything. Dog parks are great. All that stuff is wonderful. But I'm not moving to a community I don't feel safer in. My old stomping grounds in Chicago is a perfect example of this. It's one of the greatest cities in the world. And they are, the last 2 years, their population has gone down. And I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out why. That stuff is noteworthy for small, big cities, all of the above. So I think that that's noteworthy, too. I think that actually is something that's worth noting about the nice look of the building. And when it comes to the look of the building or other information people might have, Ruben, if they have follow-up questions for some of the stuff we've talked about, is there a way to reach you?
My office is at the courthouse. I'm generally there pretty early, so most people will still be sleeping. but, yeah, my office is there. My door is generally open. And if people have questions, they can give me a call. Stop in. There's pictures hanging on the wall. We have some of the boards that were presented at the groundbreaking for viewing as well.
Some of that stuff's online too, is it not, for the county?
Mm-hmm.
There is a page, I think, that's on the main website for that as well.
Yeah, and I encourage you to check that out, look into more of this, reach out to Ruben if you have questions, and as always, appreciate the time from our guests. Please thank Sheriff Becker for us, set up some great guests here. Make sure to rub it in his face that we did it without him. We were able